Michael. "Hey, what are you doing up?" He grinned, swallowing down his bite. "Couldn't sleep," I shrugged. "You?"
"Same. I have to get ready for school soon, anyway."
He pushed his hair out of his eyes and leaned back against the stair railing.
"Are you worrying about this Saturday?"
"Kind of," I admitted.
"It is pretty intense," Ree said, his eyes wide.
I nodded noncommittally.
"Is something else bothering you? You look pretty upset, I guess."
"No," I shook my head and sighed, then sat down on the top step. I didn't feel much like standing anymore, and I wanted to cry. "I was just thinking about my brother."
"Your brother?"
Something flashed across Reese's face, and slowly he sat down next to me. He seemed almost breathless. At first, I didn't understand, but then it dawned on me. This must be so weird for Reese. His whole life he had known that this wasn't his real family, and it wasn't even the same as being adopted. His family hadn't wanted to give him up. He had been stolen, and not even by a family that had wanted him. They had just wanted me to have his life.
"Yeah, I mean, your brother, actually."
I corrected myself, and it felt painful saying that. Matt would always be my brother, no matter what our genetics were.
"What's his name?"
Reese asked quietly. "Matt? He's pretty much the nicest guy in the whole world."
"Matt?"
Reese repeated in an awed tone.
"Yeah,"
I nodded. "He's the bravest guy ever. He would do anything to protect the people he cares about, and he's completely selfless. He always puts everybody else first. And he's really, really strong. He's..." I swallowed and decided that I couldn't talk about him anymore. I shook my head and looked away.
"What about my mom and dad?"
Reese pressed, and I didn't know how to answer that. "Dad died when I was 5, I said carefully. "My mother took it pretty hard, and, she's been in the hospital ever since. For psychiatric problems. Matt and my dad's sister Maggie, they raised me."
"Oh."
His face contorted with concern. I suddenly hated Kim even more. I knew that she had done everything because she loved Reese, but that didn't make her actions any less inexcusable. I didn't have it in me to tell him what she'd done or that she'd never be able to have a life with him because she'd always be locked up.
"I'm sorry."
I placed my hand gently on his to comfort him. "It's hard to explain how I know it, but your mom really loved you. She really wanted you. And I think she always hated me because she knew I wasn't you."
"Really?"
There was something hopeful and sad in his eyes when he looked at me.
"Yeah.
It kind of sucked for me, actually." I smiled wanly at him, and he laughed.
"Sorry about that."
Reese smiled back at me.
"I guess I'm too hard to forget."
"Yeah, I guess you are," I agreed.
Reese moved his hand so it was actually holding mine.
"So what about this Maggie? What's she like?"
Reese asked. "She's pretty cool. A little overly attentive sometimes, but cool," I said. "She put up with a lot of crap from me. They both did, really." I thought about how strange this all was. That they weren't my family anymore.
"This is so weird.
They're your brother and your aunt."
"No, I understand. They're your family too," Ree said. "They loved you and raised you. That's what family is, right?"
I had needed someone to say that to me for so long, and I squeezed his hand gratefully. I still love them and always would. And I just needed that to be okay.
"Wendy!"
Finn came down the hall, still dressed in his pajamas.
Instinctively, I pulled my hand back and Reese stood up. What are you doing?
I just woke up. We were just talking.
I looked up at Reese, who nodded in agreement. Finn glared at us both, and I felt like we'd just been caught robbing a bank.
I suggest you get ready for school,
he said icily.
Yeah, that's what I was doing anyway,
Reese said, then smiled down at me.
I'll see you later, Wendy.
Yeah, okay.
I smiled back at him.
What are you doing?
Finn hissed, glowering down at me.
I already told you, I insisted and stood up. We were just talking.
About what?
Finn asked.
My family, I shrugged. What does it matter?
You cannot talk to him about your host family,
Finn said.
Mainskleeg cannot know where they come from. If they did, they would be tempted to track down their families, and that would completely ruin our entire society. Do you understand that?
I didn't really tell him anything, I said.
But I felt stupid that that hadn't occurred to me.
I missed Matt, and I just said stuff about how needy he was. I didn't tell Reese where he lived or anything like that.
You have to be more careful, Wendy.
Sorry. I didn't know.
I didn't like the way he was glaring at me, so I turned and started walking down the hall toward my room.
Wait.
Finn grabbed my arm gently so I would stop and look at him. He took a step closer to me so he was right in front of me. But I was trying to be mad at him, so I refused to look at him. I could still feel his eyes on me and the heat from his body, and it did little to help me maintain my anger.
What?
I asked. Finn lowered his voice.
I saw you holding his hand.
So?
I said. Is that a crime?
No, but you can't do that. You cannot get involved with a mainskleeg.
Whatever.
I pulled my arm from his grip, irritated that the only thing he ever thought about was his job.
You're just jealous.
I am not jealous.
Finn took a step back from me.
I am watching out for your well-being. You don't understand how dangerous it would be to get involved with him.
Yeah, I muttered and started walking back to my room. I don't understand anything.
That's not what I said.
Finn followed me.
But it's true, isn't it?
I countered.
I don't know anything.
Wendy!
Finn snapped, and grudgingly, I turned back to look at him.
If you don't understand things, it's because I didn't explain them well enough.
He swallowed hard and looked down at the floor, his dark eyelashes falling on his cheeks. There was something more that he wanted to say to me, so I crossed my arms, waiting.
But you were right.
He was clearly struggling with the words, and I watched him carefully.
I was jealous.
What?
My jaw fell open, and my eyes widened with surprise.
That does not affect the job I have to do, nor does it change the fact that you absolutely cannot become involved with a mainskleeg,
Finn said firmly, still looking at the floor instead of at me.
Now go get ready. We have another long day ahead of us.
He turned around and started to walk away.
Wait, Finn!
I called after him, and he paused, half looking back at me.
The matter is not open for discussion,
he replied coolly.
I promised I would never lie to you, so I didn't.
I stood in front of my bedroom door, reeling from his confession. For the first time, he had actually admitted that at least some of his feelings for me had nothing to do with the job at hand. Yet somehow, I was supposed to forget all that and go about as if everything were normal. Chapter 18. Intimidation. I spent a long time getting ready, still making sense of what Finn had told me. It thrilled me that he cared enough to feel jealous, but I also realized how pointless it was. He'd never do anything that conflicted with a sense of honor and duty.
Even with me taking so much time, Finn never came to get me. Eventually, I perched at the top of the spiral staircase to wait for him. I thought about going down to his room, but I didn't really feel comfortable with that. Besides, he'd probably send me away. From the top of the stairs, I watched in surprise as Tuve Kroner pushed open the front door. He hadn't knocked or anything, and he raked a hand through his messy hair, looking around. "Can I help you?" I called down. As princess, I felt like I ought to be hospitable, even if I felt flustered and confused as hell.
Yeah. I'm looking for you.
He shoved his hands in his pockets and walked to the bottom of the steps, but didn't go any farther.
What for?
I wrinkled my nose, then, realizing I'd sounded rude, shook my head.
I mean, I beg your pardon?
Just to help.
Tuve shrugged. I walked slowly down the stairs, watching his eyes search the room. He never did seem comfortable looking at me. As I approached him, I took in the soft, natural highlights coursing through his dark hair. It was long and unruly, hitting just above his shoulders. His tan skin had a subtle, mossy undertone, the green complexion that Finn had told me about. Nobody else had skin like that, except maybe his mother, but hers was fainter than Tuve's.
Help me with what? I asked.
What?
He'd taken to chewing on his thumbnail. He glanced up at me, still biting it.
What are you here to help me with?
I spoke slowly and carefully, my tone bordering on condescending, but I don't think he noticed.
Oh.
He dropped his hand and stared off as if he'd forgotten why he'd come.
I'm psychic.
What?
You can read minds? I tensed up, trying to block him from reading any of my thoughts.
No, no, of course not.
He brushed me off and walked away, admiring the chandelier hanging from the ceiling.
I can sense things, and I can move things with my mind. But I can't read your thoughts. I can see auras, though. Yours is a bit brown today.
What does that mean?
I crossed my arms over my chest as if I could hide my aura that way. I didn't even really know what an aura was.
You're unhappy.
Tuve sounded distracted and he glanced back at me.
Normally, it's orange.
I don't know what that means either.
I shook my head. I don't know how any of this is supposed to help me.
It's not, really.
He stopped moving and looked up at me.
Has Finn talked to you about training?
You mean the princess training I'm doing now?
No.
He shook his head, chewing the inside of his cheek.
For your abilities. It won't start until after the christening. They think if you had any handle on them before you were indoctrinated, you'd run wild.
He sighed.
They want you calm and docile.
This is you calm? I raised a skeptical eyebrow.
No.
Tuve stared off at nothing again, then turned back to me, his green eyes meeting mine.
You intimidate me.
I intimidate you? I laughed, unable to stop myself. But he wasn't offended. I'm the least intimidating person ever. His face hardened in concentration.
Maybe to some people, but they don't see what I see. Or know what I know.
What do you know?
I asked gently, startled by his confession.
Have they told you?
Tuve eyed me again.
Told me what?
Well, if they haven't told you, I'm certainly not going to.
He scratched at his arm and turned his back to me, walking away and looking around the room again.
Whatever it is you're doing, it's not helping, I said. Growing frazzled. You're only confusing me more.
My apologies, princess.
Tuve stopped moving and bowed at me.
Finn wanted me to talk to you about your abilities. He knows you can't start your real training until after the ball, but he wants you to be prepared.
Finn asked you to come over?
My heart thumped in my chest.
Yes.
His brow creased with confusion.
Does this upset you?
No, not at all, I lied. Finn had probably asked Tuve over so he wouldn't have to deal with me. He was avoiding me.
Do you have questions?
Tuve stepped closer, and I was once again struck by the subtle green tinge to his skin. On a less attractive guy, it might have been creepy. But on him, it managed to look strangely exotic. Tons, I said with a sigh. He cocked his head at me. You'll have to be more specific.
You have nothing to be afraid of, you know.
Tuve watched me closely, and I think I might have preferred it when he was scared to look at me. I'm not afraid. I took effort not to squirm under his gaze.
I can tell when you lie,
he said, still watching me.
Not because I'm psychic, but because you're so obvious about it. You should probably work on that. Alora is very good at lying.
I'll practice, I muttered.
That's probably for the best.
Tuve spoke with an intense sincerity that I found disarming. His disjointed insanity even had its own charm. He looked down at the floor, his expression turning sad.
I rather like you this way, honest and flustered. But it'd never work for a queen.
No, I don't suppose it would. I agreed, feeling a bit melancholy myself.
I'm a bit scattered too, if you hadn't noticed.
He gave me a small, crooked smile, but his green eyes stayed sad. With that, he crouched down, picking up a small oval stone off the floor. He flipped it around in his hand, staring down.
I find it hard to stay focused, but I'm working on it.
So, not to sound mean or anything, but why did Finn want you to help? I rubbed my arms, hoping I didn't upset him by asking.
Because I'm strong.
Tuve tossed the stone aside, apparently tiring of it.
And he trusts me.
He looked back at me.
So let's see what you can do.
With what? I asked, confused by the abrupt change of subject.
Anything.
He spread his arms wide.
Can you move stuff?
With my hands, yeah.
Obviously.
He rolled his eyes.
You're not a paraplegic, so I assumed you were physically capable.
I can't do much. Just persuasion, and I haven't used it since I've been here.
Try.
Tuve pointed to the chandelier dangling above us.
Move that.
I don't want to move that, I said, alarmed. An image flashed in my mind. The painting I had seen in Alora's room, all dark smoke and red fires around broken chandeliers. Except the image in my mind seemed much more vivid, as if I could smell the smoke and see the fire raging, casting new shadows in the painting. The sound of glass shattering echoed in my ear. I swallowed hard and shook my head, taking several steps back from the chandelier. I hadn't been underneath it exactly, but I wanted to get farther away.
What was that?
Tuve asked, cocking his head at me. What?
Something happened.
He studied me, trying to decipher my reaction, but I just shook my head. It felt like too much to explain, and I wasn't sure that I hadn't imagined it.
Interesting.
Thanks, I mumbled.
I hate to do this, since you look so frightened, but I need to get you out of my head.
He looked up at the chandelier, and my eyes followed his. My heart raced in my chest, and my throat felt dry. The crystal shards twinkled and chimed and started to shimmer. I took several steps back, wanting to yell at him to stop, but I didn't even know if he'd listen. Then the whole chandelier started to sway, and I couldn't hold back.
Stop!
I shouted, my voice echoing through the front hall.
Why are you doing that?
I am sorry.
He exhaled deeply and looked back down at me. I kept my eyes locked on the chandelier until I was certain it had stopped moving.
I had to do something, and and there was nothing else in the room I could move. Except for you yourself, and I didn't think you'd like that either.
Why did you have to move anything? I snapped. My panic had started to fade, replaced by a pulsating anger, and I clenched my fists at my sides.
When you get frightened like that, you project it so intensely.
He held up his hands, pushing them out to demonstrate.
Most people can't hear it or feel it anymore, but I'm particularly sensitive to emotion. And when I move things, it helps focus me. It kind of shuts off the noise for a while. You were too strong. I had to silence it.
He shrugged.
I'm sorry.
You didn't need to freak me out like that. I calmed a bit, but my words still came out hard. Just don't do that again. Please.
It's such a shame.
Tuve watched me, looking both bemused and rueful.
They won't even be able to see what you really are. They've all gotten so weak that they won't be able to tell how powerful you are.
What are you talking about? I momentarily forgot my anger.
Your mother is so powerful.
Tuve sounded almost awed by it.
Probably not as much as you, and maybe not as much as me, but it's in her blood, crackling like electricity. I feel her walking through a room, and she's almost magnetized. But the rest of them...
He shook his head. You mean the other Trill? I clarified, since Tuve insisted on being so cryptic.
We used to move the earth.
He sounded wistful, and his whole demeanor had changed. He was no longer pacing or looking around, and I realized that moving the chandelier really had done something to him. Are you speaking literally or metaphorically? I asked.
Literally. We could make mountains. Stop rivers.
He moved his arms dramatically, as if he could do those things now.
We created everything around us. We were magic.
Aren't we still magic? I asked, surprised by the passion in his voice.
Not the way we were before. Once the humans created their own magic with technology, the dependents switched. They had all the power and the money, and we started to depend on them to raise our children.
He scoffed.
Changelings stopped coming back. When they realized we didn't have that much to offer them anymore.
We came back, I pointed out emptily.
Your gardener, who makes the flowers bloom. She's a Marxina.
Tuve pointed to the back of the house where the garden lay.
A gardener? I'm not one for class, but when one of the most powerful members of your population is the gardener, you know it's a problem.
Well, why is she a gardener then? I asked.
Because nobody else can do it.
He looked at me, his green eyes burning with something.
Nobody can do anything anymore.
You can. I can, I said, hoping to alleviate whatever distressed him.
I know.
He sighed and lowered his eyes.
Everyone's just gotten too fixated on the human system of monarchy. With designer dresses and expensive jewels.
His lip curled with disgust.
Our obsession with riches has always been our downfall.
Yeah, I nodded. But your mother seems to be the worst with it.
I know.
Tuve raised his eyebrows with weary acceptance. Something softened, and he looked almost apologetically at me.
I'm not against humans. It sounds like I am, doesn't it?
I don't know. It sounds like you're passionate, I said. When I'd first met him, I'd mistaken his inattention as boredom and arrogance. But I was starting to think his abilities had something to do with it, giving him a kind of power-related ADD. Behind that, he had a fearless honesty that few Trills seemed to possess.
Maybe.
He smiled and lowered his eyes, looking slightly embarrassed. How old are you? I asked.
19. Why?
do you know so much about the past? You talked about the way things were like you were there, like you saw it happen. Or like you're a major history buff or something.
My mother is keen on me studying, in case I ever get a chance for the throne,
Tuve said. But the idea seemed to tire him. I doubted he was any more excited about the prospect of ruling than I was. Aurora's scheming for the crown must be entirely her idea.
What did you see when you looked at the chandelier?
Tuve asked, bringing me back to his reason for being here.
I don't know,
I shook my head. I wanted to answer honestly, but I didn't know how to.
I saw a painting.
Some people see the future.
He stared up at the chandelier, the light twinkling above us.
And some people see the past.
He paused, thinking.
In the end, they're not all that different. You can't prevent either of them.
How profound, I said, and he laughed.
I haven't helped you at all, have I?
I don't know, I admitted.
You're too much for one afternoon, I'm afraid,
Tuve said.
How do you mean?
I asked, but he just shook his head.
I know you have a lot to go over, and you don't need me wasting your time. I don't know that I can help you much right now.
He walked toward the door.
Hey, wait, I said, and he stopped. You said that normally they don't want us tapping into our abilities until after the christening. But Finn wanted you to help prepare me now.
What for? Is something going on?
Finn's a protector. It's his job to worry,
Tuve explained, and my heart twisted. I hated it when people pointed out that I was just part of Finn's job.
He needs to know that in any event, you'll be taken care of, whether he's there or not.
Why wouldn't he be there?
I asked, feeling fear ripple through me.
I don't know,
Tuve shrugged.
But when something really matters to you, you make sure it's safe.
With that, Tuve turned and walked out of the house. I was grateful for his help, though I wasn't even sure what he'd done, other than confuse me more. And now I felt a new sense of dread settling over me. I had no idea what was going on with Finn, and my thoughts insisted on going back to the painting I'd seen in Alora's secret room. I'd been reaching off the balcony, looking horrified. Tuve's words echoed through my mind, sending a chill down my spine.
You can't prevent the future.
I looked up at the chandelier. I'd been too terrified to even try to move it, thinking it would collapse and I'd bring Alora's painting into life. But I hadn't, and nothing terrible had come to pass. Had I changed the future? Or was the worst still to come? Chapter 19. Christening. On Friday, with the party only 24 hours away, Alora felt the need to check on my progress. Not that I blamed her. Her plan was a dress rehearsal for dinner, testing my ability to converse and eat, apparently. She didn't want a massive audience to witness my possible failure, so she just invited Garrett, Willa, and Rhiannon over to join her, Finn, Reese, and me. It was the biggest group she could assemble without risk of embarrassment. Since I had already met these people, I didn't feel all that nervous, even though Alora informed me beforehand that I needed to act the same way I would tomorrow night. Everyone had been instructed similarly, and they all appeared far more regal than normal. Even Reese had dressed in a blazer, and he looked rather handsome. As usual, Finn was unnecessarily attractive. Thanks to Finn's random confession of jealousy, I wasn't entirely sure how to act around him. He had come into my room before dinner to make sure that I was getting ready, and I couldn't help but feel that he was purposely avoiding looking at me. When I reached the dining hall, Alora instructed us where to sit, with her at one end of the table and me at the other. Reese and Finn flanked me, and Rhiannon, Garrett, and Willa took their places in between.
"Who will I be sitting by tomorrow?" I asked, between careful sips of wine.
"Between Tuve Kroner and I." Alora narrowed her eyes at the drink in my hand. "Hold the glass by the stem."
"Sorry."
I thought I had been, but I moved my fingers, hoping I was holding it more correctly now.
"A princess never apologizes," Alora corrected me.
"Sorry," I mumbled, then realized what I had just done and shook my head.
"That was an accident. It won't happen again."
"Don't shake your head. It's not ladylike," Alora chastised me. "A princess doesn't make promises either. She might not be able to keep them, and she doesn't want them held against her."
"I wasn't really making a promise," I pointed out, and Alora narrowed her eyes more severely.
"A princess is never contrary," she said coolly.
"I've only been a princess for like a week. Can't you give me a little break?" I asked as kindly as I could.
I'd grown frustrated by all the princess talk. Nearly every sentence she'd said to me in the past 2 days had started with, "a princess," and was followed by things that a princess never or always did.
"You've been a princess your entire life. It's in your blood."
Alora sat up even straighter in her chair, as if she were trying to loom over me.
"You should know how to behave."
"I am working on it," I grumbled.
"Speak up. Use a clear, strong voice, no matter what it is you're saying," Alora snapped. "And you don't have time to work on it. Your party is tomorrow. You must be ready now."
I wanted to snap back at her, but both Rhys and Finn were giving me warning stares to keep my mouth shut. Rhiannon stared nervously at her plate, and Garrett just went about munching his food politely.
"I understand,"
I exhaled deeply and took another drink of my wine. I'm not sure if I held the glass right this time, but Alora didn't say anything.
"So I got your picture of the dress,"
Willa smiled at me.
"It was really stunning. I'm a little jealous, actually."
"You only get to be the belle of the ball once, and you definitely will be tomorrow.
You're going to look amazing."
She was coming to my aid, changing the subject from things I was doing wrong to something I was doing right. Even if she was a bitch to Finn and Rhiannon, I just couldn't bring myself to hate her.
"Thank you."
I smiled back at her gratefully. My final fitting had been earlier in the day, and since Willa had asked me to the other night, I sent her a picture. Finn took it on his camera phone. I felt very awkward posing for the photo, and it didn't help that he never reassured me that I looked good in the dress. It felt like too much for me to pull off, and I would have liked a little boost just then. But Finn had simply snapped the picture, and that had been the end of that.
"Have you seen the dress?"
Willa turned to Alora, who nibbled primly at a piece of broccoli.
"No, I trust Frederic's designs, and Finn has final approval,"
she answered absently.
"I'm going to insist on being involved in the process when my daughter gets her gown," Willa offered thoughtfully.
Alora bristled almost imperceptibly at that, but Willa didn't notice.
"But I've always loved dresses and fashion. I could spend my whole life at a ball."
She looked wistful for a moment, then smiled at me again.
"That's why it's so great that you're here. You're going to have such a monumental ball."
"Thank you," I repeated, unsure how else to respond.
"You had a lovely party yourself,"
Garrett interjected, slightly defensive about the party he had thrown for his daughter.
"Your gown was fantastic."
"I know,"
Willa beamed immodestly. "It was pretty great." Finn made a noise in his throat, and both Alora and Willa glared at him, but neither of them said anything.
"My apologies. Something caught in my throat,"
Finn explained, taking a sip of his wine.
"Hmm.
Alora murmured disapprovingly, then cast a look back at me. Oh, that reminds me. I have been too busy this week to ask you. What were your plans for your name? My name? I asked, tilting my head to the side. Yes, at the christening ceremony. She looked at me for a moment, then turned sternly to Finn. I thought Finn told you about it. Yes, but isn't that name already decided? I was definitely confused. I mean, Dahl is the family name, isn't it? Not the surname. Alora rubbed her temples, clearly annoyed. I meant your first name. I don't understand. Why wouldn't my name be Wendy Dahl? That isn't a proper name for a princess, Alora scoffed. Everyone changes their names. Willa used to be called something different. What was it, dear? Nikki, Willa said. I took the name Willa after my mother. Garrett smiled at that, and Alora tensed up slightly, then turned her focus back to me. So what is it? What name would you like? Alora pressed, possibly using me to deflect the tension. I don't know. Irrationally, my heart had started pounding in my chest. I didn't want to change my name, not at all. When Finn had told me that about the christening ceremony, I had assumed it would only be my last name. While I wasn't thrilled about that, I didn't care much. Eventually, I would probably get married and change my name anyway. But Wendy, that was my name. I turned to Finn for help, but Alora noticed and snapped my attention back to her. If you need ideas, I have some. Alora spoke in a clipped tone, and she was cutting her food with irritated fervor. Ella, after my mother. I had a sister, Supila. Those names are both lovely. One of our longest-running queens was Lovisa, and I've always thought highly of that name. It's not that I don't like any of those, I explained carefully. Although really, I thought Supila was quite terrible. I like my name. I don't know why I have to change it. Alora waved off the idea. Wendy is a ridiculous name. It's entirely improper for a princess. Why? I persisted, and Alora glared at me. I flat out refused to change my name, no matter what Alora said. It's not that I thought Wendy was a particularly fabulous name, but Matt had given it to me. He was one of the only people who had ever wanted me, and I wasn't going to get rid of the one thing that I had left of him. It is the name of a mainskleeg, Alora said through gritted teeth. And I have had enough of this. You will find a name to suit a princess, or I will choose one for you. Is that clear? If I am a princess, then why can't I decide what is proper? I forced my voice to stay even and clear, trying not to let it shake with anger and frustration. Isn't that part of the glory of being a princess? Of ruling a kingdom? Having some say in the rules? And if I want my name to be Wendy, why is that so wrong? No princess has ever kept her human name, and none ever will. Her dark eyes glared severely at me, but I met them firmly. My daughter, the princess, will not carry the name of a Manx. There was a bitter edge dripping from the word Manx, and I saw Reese's jaw tense. I knew what it was like to grow up with a mother who hated me, but I had never been required to sit quietly while she openly made derogatory remarks about me. My heart went out to him, and I had to struggle even harder to keep from shouting at Alora. I will not change my name, I insisted. Everyone had taken to looking down at their plates while Alora and I stared each other down. This dinner had to be considered an epic failure. This is not the proper place to have this discussion, Alora said icily. She rubbed her temple, then sighed. It's no matter. There isn't a discussion to be had.
Your name will be changed, and clearly I will be picking it for you.
That's not fair!
Tears welled up in my eyes.
I've done everything you've asked of me. I should at least be able to keep my own name.
That's not the way things are done, Allura replied. You will do as I say.
With all due respect,
Finn interrupted, startling everyone.
If it is as the princess wishes, then perhaps it's as it should be. Her wishes are going to be the highest order of the land, and this is such a simple one that I can't imagine anyone would find offense with it.
Perhaps. Allura forced a thin smile at him, giving him a hard look. But he stared back at her, his eyes meeting hers unabashedly. But right now, my wishes are still the highest order. And until that has changed, my word will remain final. Her smile deepened, growing even more menacing as she continued. With all due respect, Tracker, perhaps you care too much for her wishes and too little for her duties. His expression faltered momentarily, but he quickly met her eyes again. Was it not your duty to inform her of the specifics of the christening and have her completely ready for tomorrow?
It was,
Finn replied without a trace of shame. It seems you have failed, Allura surmised. I'm beginning to question how exactly you've been filling your time with the princess. Has any of it been spent on training? Suddenly, Rhys knocked over a glass of wine. The glass shattered, and liquid splattered everywhere. Everyone had been too busy staring at Allura and Finn to notice, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw him do it on purpose. Rhys started apologizing and rushing about to clean it up, but Allura had stopped glaring at Finn, and he no longer had to defend himself. Rhys had come to his rescue, and I couldn't be more relieved. After the mess was cleaned up, Willa, who had never seemed that fond of Rhys, suddenly began chatting incessantly with him, and he eagerly reciprocated. They talked just so that Allura and Finn couldn't. Allura still managed to squeeze in a few biting comments toward me, such as, "Really, princess, you must know how to use a fork." But as soon as she finished her sentence, Willa would pipe up with a funny story about this girl she knew, or this movie she saw, or this place where she went. It was endless. And in general, we were all grateful. When dinner was over, Allura claimed she had a migraine brewing and a million things to do for tomorrow. She apologized that dessert would not be served tonight, but she didn't leave her seat at the head of the table. Unsure of what else to do, everybody started to excuse themselves. Garrett suggested that they should be heading out, and she nodded noncommittally.
I will see you tomorrow evening, Allura replied hollowly.
She stared into space instead of looking at him, and he tried not to look troubled by this.
Take care of yourself,
Garrett said, touching her shoulder gently. Finn, Rhys, and I rose to see Garrett, Willa, and Rhiannon to the door. But Allura's voice stopped me cold. I think it stopped everyone else too, but they did a better job of playing it off.
Finn, Allura said flatly, still staring off at nothing. Would you escort me to my drawing room? I'd like to have a word with you.
Yes, of course,
Finn replied, giving her a small bow. I froze and looked to him, but he refused to look at me. He just stood stoically, hands behind his back, and waited for Allura to ask for further assistance. I might have stood there until Allura dismissed me, but Willa looped her arm through mine and started to drag me away. Rhys and Rhiannon were just ahead of us, whispering quietly to each other. Garrett stole one last glance at Allura and walked on to the front door.
So, I'll come over about 10 tomorrow morning, Willa said, purposely keeping her tone light and cheery.
What for? I asked, feeling somewhat dazed.
To help you get ready. There is so much to do, Willa said,
and then shot a look in the direction of the dining room. And your mother doesn't seem to be the helpful type.
Willa, don't talk bad about the Queen,
Garrett said without conviction. Well, anyway, I'll be over to help you with everything. You'll be fabulous. She gave me a reassuring smile and squeezed my arm right before she left with her father. Soon, Reese and I were alone, standing in the entryway.
You okay?
He asked. Yeah, I'm fine, I lied. I felt oddly shaky and ill, and I was pretty sure that I didn't want to be a princess anymore, if I ever did. There weren't many more dinners like this I could handle. I took a step away, preparing to tell Allura just that, but I felt Reese's hand warm on my arm, stopping me.
If you go in there, you'll just make it worse,
Reese insisted gently. Come on. He put his hand on the small of my back and ushered me over to the stairs. When we reached them, I expected him to try to push me up the stairs to my room, but he didn't. He knew that I had to wait for Finn to find out what had happened. I peered in the direction of the dining room, hoping to catch a glimpse of something. I wasn't sure what that would help, but I thought if I could just see what was happening, I could somehow make it okay.
That was a rough dinner,
Reese said with a joyless laugh and sat down on the stairs. I couldn't see anything, so I gave up. Pulling my skirt underneath me, I sat next to him. I'm sorry, I said.
Don't be sorry. It wasn't your fault,
Reese assured me with his lopsided grin.
You just made this house a whole lot more interesting.
Allura had purposely pulled Finn aside to make a public spectacle. Otherwise, she would have lectured him privately, inside his head. For some reason, she had wanted me to witness that. I didn't understand what exactly he had done wrong, except disagree with her. But he had been respectful and hadn't said anything that wasn't true. What do you think she's saying? I asked.
I don't know, Reese said. She's never really yelled at me.
You've got to be kidding. I stared at him skeptically. Reese was always flouting the rules, and Allura was about as strict as they came.
No, seriously, Reese laughed at my shock. She snapped at me to knock stuff off when she's around me, but do you know how often she's even around? I was raised by nannies. Allura made it perfectly clear from day one that she wasn't my mother and she never wanted to be.
Did she ever want to be a mother at all? From what little I knew of her, she seemed to be lacking even the slightest bit of maternal instinct.
Honestly, Reese debated whether or not to tell me, before sadly replying, No, I don't think she did. But she had a lineage to carry on. A duty.
I'm just part of her job, I muttered bitterly. For once, I just wish that somebody actually wanted me around.
Oh, come on, Wendy,
Reese admonished me softly and leaned in closer.
Lots of people want you around. You can't take it personally that Allura's a bitch.
It's a little hard not to. I fidgeted with my dress. She's my mother.
Allura is a strong, complicated woman that you and I can't even begin to understand.
Reese explained tiredly. She is a queen above all else, and that makes her cold and distant and cruel. What was it like growing up with that? I glanced over at him, suddenly feeling guilty for moping about my life when he'd had it even harder. At least I had Matt and Maggie.
I don't know, he shrugged. Probably like growing up in a boarding school with a strict headmistress. She was always lurking in the background, and I knew that she had the final say on everything. But her interaction with me was at an absolute minimum.
He looked at me again, this time uncertainly.
What?
She's not quite as secretive as she thinks, though.
This is a big house, but I was a sneaky little kid.
He bit his lip and fiddled with a button on his blazer.
You know she used to sleep with Finn's dad?
I do, I said quietly. I thought he would tell you.
Reese fell silent for a minute, chewing his lip.
Laura was in love with him. She's strange when she's in love. Her face is different, softer and more radiant.
Reese shook his head, lost in a memory.
It was almost worse seeing her like that, knowing that she's capable of kindness and generosity. It made me feel gyp that all I ever got were icy glares from across the room.
I'm sorry. I put my hand gently on his arm. I wish I could say something to make you feel better, but to be honest, I can't imagine how horrible it must have been to grow up like that.
He forced a smile, then shrugged, pushing away the memory. Anyway, Finn's father left Alora for his wife, which was just as well.
Reese looked thoughtful for a moment.
Although I bet she would have thrown it all away to be with him, if he had really loved her. But that's not the point.
What is the point? I asked shakily.
Rumor has it she keeps Finn around because she still loves his old man, even though he never loved her. Nothing's ever happened between Finn and Alora, I'm sure.
Reese let out a heavy sigh.
But what?
Finn's dad never looked at her the way Finn looks at you.
He let it hang in the air for a second as I tried to figure out what he meant.
So you've got that strike against you, too. She never wanted to be a mother, and you're getting the one thing she never had.
What are you talking about? I haven't gotten anything she never had, and I definitely don't have Finn. It's just official business.
Wendy, Reese looked at me with a sad smile. I know that I wear my heart on my sleeve, but you're just as bad.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I stuttered and looked away from him.
All right, Reese laughed. Whatever you say.
To lighten the moment, Reese made some joke that I didn't really catch. My mind raced and my heart pounded. Reese must be imagining things. And even if he wasn't, surely Alora wouldn't punish Finn for that. Would she?
Chapter 20. Resignation. Finn reached the stairs, and I scrambled to my feet. He had probably only been with Alora for 15 minutes, but in my mind, it seemed like forever. Reese had been sitting next to me, but he got up much slower than I had. Finn looked over us with disdain, then turned and started walking up the stairs without a word.
Finn!
I jogged after him. But Reese rather smartly made his escape to the kitchen.
Wait, Finn, what happened?
A conversation,
Finn replied glibly. I scurried to keep up with him, but he made no effort to slow down, so I grabbed his arm, stopping him halfway up the stairs. He glanced back over his shoulder as if looking for Reese, clearly avoiding my gaze.
I thought I told you to stay away from the main squeak.
Reese was just sitting with me while I waited for you, I said. Get over it.
It's very dangerous for you to be around him.
Finn faced the top of the stairs, but looked at me from the corner of his eye.
It's dangerous for you to be around me.
I didn't appreciate the way he wouldn't look at me directly. I missed his dark eyes.
What's that supposed to mean?
I demanded.
Let go of my arm,
Finn said.
Just tell me what's going on and I'll leave you alone, I said, tightening my grip.
I have been relieved of my duties,
Finn answered carefully.
Alora no longer perceives a threat, and I have been insubordinate. I am to pack my things and leave the premises as soon as possible.
The air completely went out of my lungs. It was my worst fear. Finn was going to leave, and it was my fault. He had been defending me when I should have been defending myself. Or I should have just kept my mouth shut.
What? I gaped at him. That's not right. You can't. You've been here for so long and Alora trusts you. She can't. It's my fault.
I'm the one who refused to listen.
No, it's not your fault,
Finn insisted firmly.
You didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you can't just leave. I have the ball tomorrow, and I don't know anything, I continued desperately. I'm not a princess at all, Finn. You have so much left to help me with.
I wouldn't be helping you after the ball anyway.
Finn shook his head.
A tutor will be coming in to help you learn everything you need to know from here on out. You're ready for the ball, no matter what Allura says. You'll do wonderfully tomorrow.
But you won't be here.
He turned away from me and quietly said,
You don't need me.
This is my fault. I'm going to talk to Allura. You can't leave. She has to see that.
Wendy, no. You can't,
Finn said, but I had already started back down the stairs. There was an unbearable panic settling over me. Finn had forced me to leave the only people who had ever made me feel loved, and I had done it because I trusted him. Now he was going to leave me alone with Allura and a monarchy I wanted no part of.
Rhys would still be here, but I knew that it was only a matter of time before she sent him away as well. I was going to be more alone and isolated than I had ever been before, and I couldn't handle it. Even as I was running down to Allura's drawing room, I knew it was more than that. I couldn't stand to lose Finn, and it didn't matter how Allura or anyone else treated me. A life without him just didn't seem possible anymore. I hadn't even realized how important he had become to me until Allura threatened to take him away. Allura! I threw open the drawing room door without knocking. I knew it would piss her off, but I didn't care. Maybe, if I was insubordinate enough, she would send me away too. Allura stood in front of the windows, staring out at the black night, and she wasn't startled at all by the door slamming open. Without turning to look at me, she calmly said,
That's completely unnecessary. And it goes without saying that that is not at all how a princess behaves.
You're always going on about how a princess should behave. But what about how a queen should act? I countered icily. Are you such an insecure ruler that you can't handle the slightest bit of dissension? If we don't bow instantly to your opinion, you ship us off?
Allura sighed.
I assume this is about Finn.
You had no right to fire him. He did nothing wrong.
It doesn't matter if he did anything wrong. I can fire anyone for any reason. I am the queen.
Slowly she turned to me, her face stunningly emotionless. It is not the act of disagreeing that I had a problem with. It was why.
This is about my stupid name? I spat.